back to Back to the Past Hunter History Podcast. This is Season 3, Episode 6 of the podcast. And before we go into our topic, I just want to have let you know that Kluka, I think it's ready for launch. There's some stuff we need to fix up. Like, we still need to add the forms and commenting functionalities and replace some of the stock images and photo and privacy policy text. But other than that, the website itself, and for the most part, it's live. So check it out. And let us know on our socials how you feel about it and any suggestions or even any thoughts in general. Add back to the past P1. But now let's get straight to it. Today, our scenario is, what if the South won the Civil War? And I mean, this changes the country a lot. So how would they win? I mean, this would be a difficult one because the North, they outproduced the South. They had plenty more men to throw in the lines because the South, one of the issues with the South is that they couldn't produce guns like the North could. And they didn't have the manpower to replace either. So they really had, they didn't have that long of a life. So they would, in this scenario, they would have to get a quick and decisive victory. Like, I don't really know how it's possible, but let's just say in this scenario, somehow they're able to march to DC within the first 2 years before the North is able to have like competent, really military leaders like Grant or etc. But I think that's the only way, really.
A better way to specify in this case, I think, would probably be a Gettysburg, because the Confederacy could have easily won a Gettysburg, and that would have been end of the Civil War right there, and because that would have led to the recognition of the Confederacy by both the UK and France, which were pretty big parts of it. But that also fits into your two-year timeline as well.
I don't really know about that. I mean, we can.
I'm
just
100%
go with
confident
that,
in that for sure.
Because my logic with this is that Gettysburg, it was in a strategic position. The only reason why it was such a significant battle is because Lee lost 25% of the Army of Northern Virginia in that battle. But even if the North lost that battle, it really wouldn't make much of a difference because the North won Vicksburg. They were pushing all different fronts, and the South was going to lose. You make a point that Gettysburg is closer, but honestly, Abraham Lincoln doesn't strike me as a type to really give in to the Union. I mean, the South. I mean, in the first place, he did kind of like pursue them after they seceded. He made sure they couldn't leave, and he went to war over it essentially. So I don't think he was really the type to give in now. He would rather have a complete military defeat over just surrendering after Gettysburg or a few battles after that.
It's not a total military defeat in my opinion. It's more in terms of a foreign defeat at that point, because the point of Gettysburg is that if the South was to win and successfully invade into the North area, like into the North specifically, I feel as if at that point it'd be a pretty dumb situation, a pretty weird situation, because I think France and Britain at that point would recognize it. That's more my take on it. You're taking it in terms of more of a military and a total military victory. My point of view is more in terms of a foreign victory for the South, because if Britain and France, which are two pretty powerful nations at the time, specifically Britain, who would have much more of a say in North American politics than France, if they got involved on the side of the Confederacy and told the Union to back down, I think that's all they need. Because I don't think the Union would be, number one, be willing to go to war with several of their own states, and then also, number two, go to war with Britain. I think that's just a death sentence for them at this point. Otherwise, going on to the next topic, let's just say the Confederates win the Civil War. What happens next? So how do you think both Confederate society and Union society would be affected?
I think Union society would be faced with this humiliation that they lost to essentially what it is, a bunch of farmlands and plantations. I mean, the North was this vast industrialized cities with many factories, and the South was literally just rural plantations after plantations, just farms, cotton. There was really no proper industrial place in the South like there was in the North. I mean, I'm sure there was a small hot pockets here and there, but it was nothing like the North. So I think that would just be a big embarrassment for the Union population. And overall, I think there would just be this bitterness and resentment for it. And honestly, I think they would even hate the current government too. I mean, of course, it's not the government's fault that they lost. I mean, it could be, but they would blame it on the government. And we could see a potential like ousting of Abraham Lincoln instead of him being like this glorious leader in my timeline, like such a great dictator. He'll be instead looked at as like the person who lost us the South or something like that.
I think another important part I do want to mention specifically is specifically with the military leaders, because you did bring up a lot of good points specifically on the societal aspects of it immediately after the Civil War. But I also want to bring up the major military upheaval afterwards, because we have to look at throughout the time of the early Civil War, which is before Grant, for example, they were the Union leaders were not that. So I think one idea you forgot to bring up specifically, and I can understand why you forgot it, because it's just one I thought of while you were talking. I think it's more in terms of besides a societal upheaval, I think it's also going to be the military upheaval, because I think, for example, I think the Union vets specifically after the Civil War could be seen as almost like how we saw the Vietnam vets when they came back from war. It was a war. It's kind of weird. It's not like an exact comparison, but it's kind of like that point of view is like, oh, these guys fought for nothing. And I think it also could see a major upheaval of a lot of the military as well. I think the Union Army would certainly reform specifically. I think they would definitely reform. The Navy, I think, would be relatively the same with their own tactics and everything. But I think the Union Army would face a ton of upheaval after the Civil War. But otherwise, I don't have really much else to add on the political sphere with the immediate impacts of the Civil War. I think you covered that very well, actually.
Yeah, Nick, you bring up some great points. And now I think let's talk about the immediate impacts in the Southern society. And I feel like the South is going to be very interesting, this one, because it's going to be completely opposite of the North. The South is going to have this pride. And you know how I said about how, oh, the North was embarrassed and they lost to a bunch of farmland? Well, the South is going to be like, oh, wow, look, our plantations were able to beat these industrial massive cities. So it's just going to be like a sense of pride for the South. And like, they're going to say, like, we defended our freedom and we defended our way of life. I mean, they're going to just be really happy and joyful and prideful. It's just going to be like, I guess, a celebration, I guess, that they won the war. But more so than like a lot of celebrations, because they viewed it as our independence war. So like, it'll be like the American Revolutionary War for them in a sense.
Yeah, it's actually kind of debated nowadays by certain historians whether or not this was like considered the second American Revolutionary War in some cases, specifically with the South seceding from the North, which is entirely different depending on how you view it. You can say, oh, yeah, it is. Oh, no, it's not. I'm particularly more on the no, it's not side, mainly because of the fact is, who are we fighting? Are we fighting a colonial overlord in this case, which we're not? But going over back to your point. So yeah, you bring up a lot of good points specifically about how Southern society would be. And I think specifically it would be more stubborn and arrogant, really, in terms of being more almost like a Southern pride, because they beat back the Yankees. And it would be almost be like they would be still be seen as the war of Northern aggression almost. And I think we still see this today in a lot of schools actually still teaching like the Lost Cause myth, for example. And you also look at the fact that besides Southern society, I know I don't really want to transition too much out of it yet, but it's also important to look at. I also like to look at this very specifically through a military history lens as well, because I think it's very interesting what the Civil War did to a lot of European nations. And there's a couple of examples that we'll go on to once we talk about the foreign or the future of the world after the Confederate victory. But getting back on track, I think we also have to see that with the increased stubbornness and arrogantness of the Confederacy, I feel like it's also going to be – how do I say this? It's also going to be very hard without the foreign pressure to get rid of slavery in the South. And despite – even if they do get rid of slavery, which I think they eventually will, because, of course, the British and the French are going to, you know, get on their bum for it. I think that specifically with slavery, once they get rid of this whole slavery practice, I think it's still going to be like Reconstruction era, like post-Reconstruction era, where they were working as sharecroppers, you know, basically slaves, but paid slaves almost. Because I feel like I had decent points on the Southern side, but I also want to talk more about the military side. That's what really interests me about the Civil War.
Yeah, you make good points, because the South is eventually going to have to give up slavery, no matter how much they resisted, because the South, just because they beat the Union, that's only because they were really lucky. I mean, they, logistically speaking, shouldn't have beat the Union, but the Union just didn't have proper generals and stuff, so they got lucky at that time. But the British and the French have proper generals and a proper army and navy, so I don't think they want to mess with them.
The American Civil War had a huge effect on how military technology was advanced in Europe. Specifically, I'm going to give two examples here throughout history, actually. We have Prussia, for example, which has been coming up a lot lately in our alternate history scenarios. But going back on track, with Prussia specifically, they adopted a lot of Union strategy, specifically with the railroad system, telegraph. Besides railroad and telegraphed. There's also the needle gun that basically is kind of considered to have won them They also, besides, you know, transportation technology, specifically talking about railroads and the telegraph, there's also the fact that there's this gun called the needle gun, actually, that practically won Austro-Prussian War during this time period. Now, I find that very interesting because all of these were kind of adopted from the Union strategy during the Civil War. And the other example I'm going to give here is Britain, specifically with Britain adopting ironclads, for example, as a result of several naval battles that they observed throughout the entirety of the Civil War. So I think that's two great cases of where how important the American Civil War was. Do you think that if the size of the Union losing the Civil War, do you think that they would still adopt those tactics, specifically for Prussia and Britain, just basically all Europe in general?
I think that's an interesting scenario. I know the British would, because ironclads still played a role even before, like, 1863 when Gettysburg happened. In 1862, there was actually a great battle between the U.S. Union Navy and the Confederate Navy, and the Union ironclads just beat the Southern ships, and it just kind of proved and maintained Union Navy supremacy to make sure those ports in the South were blockaded. So I think, for the British example, they would definitely use Union ironclads. And as for Prussia, I'm not entirely sure because, I mean, if they took a close look, they'd realize that it's not the military it's not the military that's at fault. It's the strategists and the commanders. But at the same time, are they going to take that closer look? We don't really know. Yeah, so there's a lot of weapons actually that came from the Civil War that impact World War One, like the Gatling gun is the early ancestor of the machine gun, for example. But now, let's move on to foreign politics. And I wanted to discuss this because the Confederacy, how are its neighbors going to view it? How is it going to be viewed across the Atlantic, for example? Like, because the British public was kind of becoming very weary of buying cotton from a slave society, because they were like realizing that this wasn't ethically right. This wasn't morally right. So that's where this is where my theory came, that the South would eventually give up slavery. But I think it could go even more than that. I think the British public, I mean, for example, they could stop buying textiles from the South. They could stop buying textiles from the South because... So I think the British public would start demanding for alternative sources of cotton, not from the South, because they want it to be, I guess, produced in more morally satisfactory ways, so not produced with slave labor or like ridiculously like sharecropper labor, which is still basically slavery.
Yeah, you bring up a very good point there. And I think they would get that resource mainly from one area, because I feel like at first they would have to rely on the South specifically throughout maybe the 1870s, 1880s. But as soon as the 1890s hit, it's going to snap and we're going to see it turn more towards the British Raj specifically here, because the British Raj was actually a huge cotton producer during that time period. And in fact, I don't remember this exactly, but I'm pretty sure they took over the South during the 1890s as well. And with that, I think that's also going to diminish the South's importance to the British Empire as well. So I think that we'd see an eventual distancing between those two as well, mainly besides the fact that the Confederacy doesn't use slavery anymore. I think that even with I think that even if they were to get rid of slavery, I feel like as if the Confederacy and the British would still split up with each other, or, you know, come less buddy-buddy. In a sense.
So, it's going off this theory where the British and French just kind of distance themselves from the Confederacy, do you think the U.S. would take advantage of this and actually attempt to take back their former states or former, you know?
So, yeah, you bring up I think there's 100%, there's no doubt in my mind that they're going to try to take it up specifically. I think, I'm not going to pull Turtle Dove here, but I think that sometime, I don't know if it'll be in the 1880s, like Turtle Dove would put it out, for example, but I think it would be sometime maybe during the early, I think it could be potentially more of like a generational war too. And I don't want to pull a Turtle Dove here, but I think that's just realistic enough to where it would make sense. It'd be almost like a generational war. And I think another thing to see is how important I think immigrants as well would become, not just in terms of like in an actual history, they were pretty important, specifically the Irish ones. I think we could also see an increase in German identity as well, Irish identity, you know what I mean? Because it's already a pretty big part of American history during that time period. So I think honestly that with the Union repeatedly trying to take over Confederate territory, I feel like that it's more of an eventuality the Union would win. And I know it's kind of like a cheap way to go around it. But I think despite that, I think the Union's industrial factors could become such a major part that it's going to be undeniable that the Union would win over time.
Yeah, and going off the fact that you mentioned that the army would go under massive reforms.
That's my theory about it.
Yeah, and on top of that, I doubt the South is going to really invest much into manufacturing infrastructure. They're still going to be investing more and more into plantations to try to exploit that economy, right, until it has become no more. And when it becomes no more, the Southern economy is just going to collapse because they now their exports have just decreased massively. And the South, they didn't really grow food. They mainly grew cotton. So they relied on imports for food, whether it's from the North during before the Civil War and from foreign countries in this timeline. They rely on imports because they don't grow their own food. So the Southern economy would just collapse. And I think that'd be a prime time for the Union to just go in, swoop in, and take it all. I mean, they would deal with a lot of resistance. But I think under the fact that they want to deal with this embarrassment, and there's just pride and there's a stubborn pride that they would actually deal with that resistance because they wanted to make sure that it stayed with them.
Yeah, I think there's also the fact that when that time hits, I think we could also see another peak like we had during the Civil War, for example, like even in 1863, for example, because the main 2 years where inflation was at its height for the Confederate dollar specifically was from 1863 and 1865 as well. Well, 1865 was crazy high. But 1863 specifically, by the time when Gettysburg took place, it was about a 474.07% inflation rate, which is utterly insane. And I think that we could also see something towards that level if we were to have an economic collapse by, say, I would say probably the 1890s, 1900s in that range. I think I'm leaning more 1900s because I feel like as if the Confederates gets it, the British are like, oh yeah, no, we're not going to trade with you guys anymore. You guys were slaves. You guys used slaves until like the 1880s or whatever. I feel like in that case, it's just going to be. How do I say this? I feel that would probably be what happens.
Yeah, I mean that's 100% true because I think the South, at the end of the day, it's not destined to survive. It could get lucky and survive, but the way the Union would be and just this their embarrassment, they would do anything that it takes to take it back over. But now I feel like let's go to the Great War. Let's say, for example, for the South hasn't been conquered yet by the Union. It's still alive, not necessarily healthy, but it's alive. I think first of all that they would have definitely started to do some industrialization with the money they have. But the thing is, they've invested so much in plantations, it's going to be hard for them to switch economies from an agrarian economy to a more industrial economy. It's going to take some time. It's going to be difficult.
I would say like the perfect example to compare to CSA to would probably be Brazil, but like a worse geographic position. And I'd say that mainly because Brazil, like the Confederacy, outlawed slavery pretty late. Brazil outlawed it in our actual history in 1889. And the Confederacy would outlaw it, I think, probably in the early 1880s. I'm just going to throw out 1882, for example. And while they would be transferring over to more of an industrial society, I feel like they would definitely still be more agrarian. And like I said, I feel like slavery would still exist in the form of sharecroppers. And going onwards, I think with the foreign situation, I feel like the CSA would definitely align more towards the British and the French side rather than the German side, mainly because of the fact is that America would have much more of a also kind of like a German identity as well, because don't forget the Germans were immigrating in full force during that time period to America, specifically the 1860s, 1870s. And I feel like that would basically align the United States more with Germany, Austro-Hungary, specifically those two. And I think in that case, in that scenario, I don't think the Confederacy survives the Great War.
You know, you actually were going straight off my point. I was thinking of that. I think the United States would actually join the Central Powers because they were angry at the British and the French for recognizing the CSA in the first place and essentially messing them up, causing this mess where the South won the Civil War. Because if we go with that scenario where the British and the French recognize it, I think America would kind of have a hatred for Britain and France.
I feel like in this scenario, besides the British and French hatred that America would have, I feel like America would also take out Canada too, and I think they would probably fully annex it, or at least militarily occupy it for a pretty good while, and make, for example, they would liberate Quebec, because Quebec is very different from all of Canada, speak a different language too. But getting back on point, I feel like America would probably be more bigger in this scenario as well, and I think, and without Alaska too, I should also mention as well, I don't think the Seward Purchase would happen in this scenario. Otherwise, that'll be it for this episode of Back to the Past, the Alternate History Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you enjoyed it, please share this podcast to other people who might be interested. And we'd also perfectly welcome reviews, any criticisms you might have for us. Otherwise, if you want to get more information about the podcast, basically new episodes, and you can either go on cuckoo.org or you can go on our social media on Twitter and Instagram at Back to the Past P1. Otherwise, we hope you had a great day.